I want you to know we have done a vision conference for like, I mean, years and years and years. Three buildings ago. This is our third church building. We did it at our first building, and I remember having a guy that was real sharp and fancy, wore a three-piece suit off the plane. I pick him up in shorts and a t-shirt. And that's when he said, am I overdressed, you know? I said, a little bit, but we don't care. We needed the word desperately, you know. There was just a handful of people there several of the nights. And that was just some humble beginnings. And this week, all the friends we've made and the people came in and packed out this building. We were, you know, packed out, man, a lot of people. And I want you to know, I invited a few people to come, but I also, a lot of people, they invited themselves. And one of the reasons they did is a lot of times when you're a pastor and you go to a conference, you'll hear the same things. You take notes on the. It's not like you're learning anything new all the time. And sometimes that happens. Or they invite you so they can let you speak for a, you know, they want you to take 30 minutes and do something. Or, you know, I go places and they're like, hey, man, could you lead worship in the morning time? I get it. So you're performing. And these guys here, they said, they want to come because they leave very encouraged. Brian Hedges told me this is the only conference he goes to that doesn't feel like work. He says, I come here, Blake. I always pick up ideas, have great conversations, and I leave really edified. I'm thankful for that. And I hope you, as the Maple City Baptist Church, you know, we are the church, the Bible says. I hope you this week picked up and got something. Our theme was the course. We chose this Acts 20:24, which, you know, but none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. As I was studying, preparing for a message at another church, I kept seeing this word course in Scripture, so I started doing a study on it, and that's what caused me. So what I would like to do is do an overview, and then I'm going to preach a message at the very end of it, a little overview of the conference, and some of you couldn't make all of it. Now remember, the one thing we always ask at the conferences, there's two questions, but we always start with this. What's the main business of the church? Churches do a lot of things, but what's the main business of the church? Churches get caught up in all kinds of political agendas, social work. A lot of churches do a lot of social work for their community. But what's the main business? Because neither of those things are. So we have to figure out what's the main thing God has called us to do. And then we need to do that. And anything that's hindering that, it's time to knock it off. It's time to stop. It's time to change things. You know, we always felt like we were not a traditional church. I never wanted to be a traditional church. Well, we've created our own traditions. We do things the same all the time. And, you know, some of that's good for, you know, growth and so people can feel familiar. You don't always want to shock people all the time. But I just don't want us to get stuck in doing things like we always have. I love discipleship because, like Brandon and Amelia, they were the first people now in probably 18 years that owned decorations outside of Bow. Huge step of growth for us. Huge. We got to make changes like that. We have to, and sometimes people don't want to do something because you feel like, oh, it's already being done, or they do it really good. I don't know if I can do it as good. And I'm here to tell you, you know what needs to happen? A lot of times it takes somebody leaving and all of a sudden there's a hole, and then somebody will come along and fill it, you know? And so I wanted God to move inside of our church. What's the main business here? The main business of the church, and we've learned it and heard it this week. Ultimately, it's to glorify God, but how do we do that? By people meeting Jesus Christ. We're a church that we evangelize. We tell people he's the Savior of the world. They need to believe in him. Church is not going to save them. Baptism's not. They need Christ. We need to be a people that no matter what course God has you on, and like Max was saying up here, every day he goes into work, he don't even go there for money anymore. He goes there because that's the course God has him on and the people God has him around. It's his job to testify of the grace of God, right? To bring him glory. And then Once people get saved, they need to grow. So once people believe in Christ, they need a place to belong. That's a church, a family, a place that they can belong to. Then they become, they grow, and that's what discipleship is. That's why Brandon and Amelia, that's why Max was up here just saying, hey, man, and we got a set of lessons that we use to, you know, just to help people gauge and basically get the spiritual disciplines. They're pretty easy, but getting the word every day, teach them how to pray and to walk with the Lord. This is what we do. The main business of the church, right, is that we do want to bring God glory. And the way we edify the body is we build the body. We make disciples. Jesus Christ said that. Don't just lead people to Christ. Make disciples. I know churches that lead people to Christ. People get saved, but they don't grow. What's the point of going to church? Some people don't go to church, and people. Some people say, shame on you. And others, my opinion on that thing is, why would you go and give your time and give your money if you get nothing out of it? That's not how it's supposed to work. Yes, we should be in church, but a dead one? What's the main business of the church? We want people to get saved and people to be discipled. That's our job. All of us, wherever we're at. It's not just my job. I'm a pastor. It's our job. So what's the main business of the church? We kind of heard that throughout the week. Then the second question we ask at the conference is, how is business going? If we know the main business of the church, how are you, how am I specifically doing with that? Some people just come to church, and people tell me this all the time. Man, I just feel better when I come. My week goes better. Well, I'm glad of that, but that's not the main reason we're here. There's sometimes I leave this church, and you ever leave church feeling rotten? I remember Blake out in the hallway. I go out in the highway, and Mr. Thompson says, grab your ankles, boy. And I grab my ankles. Man, that was the two hardest whippings I've ever had in my life. That year I got 8 of them in school. And them too, I went inside and I had to act cool to all my friends. It hurt to sit back down in my chair. I was like, you know, sometimes in church we need that. Sometimes God has to take us to the woodshed, straighten something out, some thinking I had wrong, maybe the way I'm behaving in my home. And God has to take his word and iron me out. It's okay now and then to go to church and be like, whoo, you know, thanks. I needed that. Remember the Brute commercial? Whap! Whoo, thanks. I needed that. Man, thank you, Lord. I definitely needed that. What's the main business of the church? Man, we're going to become like Jesus Christ. We're growing. We make disciples, right? This is what we do here. We're building for another kingdom. We're running a course different than other people, right? We're living for eternity. That's what we're supposed to be about. Not coming to church. And the number one Christian book for years, well, I say years, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. For the year it came out, you know what it was? Your Best Life Now. Sorry, I can't show my teeth when I smile. I don't know why. And they're not as white as that guy's. Mine's yellow. Your Best Life Now. The Bible don't even teach that. The Bible says as Christians, our best life is later. It's in eternity. The very title is not even biblical. And yet it was number one on the Christian charts. You know what we say about that as a church? It's terrible. That's terrible. We need to be a church that's biblical and scriptural. We started off this conference. I had my friend Jay come up here. Man, Jay did a great job last Sunday morning. He was simple. 4 simple points. Remember, we're all on a wrong course. We need a new course. But it is a timed course and a focused course. I really like this message. He said at the very beginning, it's like a river, like water. It seeks its easiest level. It's just a dirty garbage is in it. And he said, our course, we were in the course of this world. We were just wading in the cesspool, going wherever the current took us. Well, becoming a Christian, we get a new course. It's not that easy. It's uphill. You got to be intentional as a Christian. You got to intentionally do things. And that's the problem with this. A lot of us, we've developed this habit. And some of us still in the evenings, as a Christian, we're on the same course that we've been on for years. You go home, eat your dinner, put a little load in, do your thing. And what do? You get on your phone and scroll like everybody else scrolls. You're no different than everybody else. You're just everybody else's business. That's what you are. And we do that, and all of a sudden an hour goes by, 2 hours go by and you're just watching Netflix and you're watching that show again. Well, I watched this 5 years ago, but it's so funny, I'm going to watch this series again. You know, that's the cesspool. That's just doing nothing. That's being way too casual with your Christian life. Be a little more intentional if there's going to be some change. And I liked how he said, it's the word of God and the work of God. So the big picture is this. Guys, as a Christian, we're on a new course, but listen, we don't have much time. I looked at my grandpa on both sides of the family, and when they passed away, I looked at my parents, and I started doing some math with my own life, and I kind of was able to guesstimate about when I'm going to die. I didn't pick a day, but I picked a year. And not that I necessarily want to die that year. I was just, you know what I did? And then I backed it up and said, okay, now, dude, you're 55 years old. How many years you got left? And then it's real sobering to do that. Because you know what happens? Day goes by after day, living the same old life, doing the same old thing. And all of a sudden, one day you just say, man, I can't believe I'm 65. Whew. Can't believe I'm 70. And I say that now. Man, I can't believe I'm 55. And then people tell me, you're still a youngster. Well, I'm glad you say that because that encourages me. Because I've seen a lot of years just float by, you know. I want to be intentional. And that's what his point was that morning. The mission of the church, the steps we take, we have got to please the Lord. I want things to be different. So the new course is what? It's timed. It's time. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Bible says, Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 9:28. Then it's focused. So, gang, the first message, man, I hope you got it, because I got it last Sunday morning, that is, man, we got to do something different. I can't keep just living my life like everybody else, doing what everybody else does. We're believers, right? That's why God has us in this church this morning. That's why he had this mission conference for me to say, what's your course? And I say, of course. That's what it is. Of course, I know that. The problem is we know a lot of things that we just don't do. Everybody knows they should be eating, right? But somehow when the chocolate chip cookie's out of the oven, it changes everything. You know, isn't it true? Somehow there's certain things I know I should be doing. We all know that. A letter I should be writing. I should be talking to people. By the way, I want you to know, when I did my assessment of my life, I was like, how am I going to live my life different? You know what it made me do? I just thought, man, how many people can be around my hospital bed when I'm sitting there dying? I did the math on that. I'm like, how many people can carry my dead body? How many people carry a casket? How many people usually carry a casket? And I was just like, who do I want those people to be? I did all that, and it does feel a little bit morbid, but I'll tell you what it helps me do. It helps me do the right thing. That time course, man, it helps me live for eternity. So, gang, I want to encourage you today, that first message we heard last week, my gosh, make sure on the new course you're on that you're making progress down the road. And listen, some of you are new in your faith. It's not how long you've been on this new course, but it's how far you're getting down the road. Don't ever think that. Some people, I've been a Christian 30 years. Yeah, I know, and you're still at the beginning of the course. How far are you down the road? Let's get after this, right? It's uphill, it's intentional. Did you know we met night two, and we talked in Acts 16:11 and Acts 21:1. This is the verse where Paul says when he came loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to the next town. So we use the phrase straight course. You know what the straight course is meaning? You know, I was born and raised near Akron, Ohio. It's me and LeBron James, just to let you know. And so, but I can get there like 1,700 different ways. But it's not real smart to go through Texas. It takes 10 times longer. I can get there through Michigan. It takes 2 hours longer. There's a straight course, though, and I can take that. And sometimes even when you get on the maps and you look and you're like, man, this looks like it'd be the straightest course. But then you find out, oh, there's a lot of two lanes there. Oh, there's a lot of toll roads there. But I can go this way and get there in 20 minutes quicker and not have to pay any fees, you know. And so when I go back home, I know the route to take now. So basically, I want to take a straight course with no hindrances, nothing hindering me. He's the guy that morning that said, never go gently. he learned from his military buddy that ended up passing away. I really liked that guy and his stories he told, and I thought, that's the problem. We just go gently. We are saved, but we're way too soft. Where's the men at? Where's the women of God that'll stand up and tell the truth and shame the devil? Where's that at? Never go gently. We're just too gentle. We're too casual with the Christian life. Years ago, there's an old group called DeGarmo and Key. My favorite song used to be, and I sung it all the time with Becky in the car. I would say, I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a casual Christian life. I'll do whatever it takes to not be casual anymore. We're just too casual. We're too casual with everything. And I'm not picking on this, but I will say this. I'm too casual with my church attendance. I'm too casual with church things and events. And if anything competes with the church takes the back seat. That's a casual Christian. I don't want to be a casual Christian. Hey, you guys remember the spear he brought up? That was cool. Right? And I was thinking, man, why is that guy hauling a spear around with him to all these churches wherever he goes? But he worked the process of what it takes. There's no shortcuts to making a spear. There's no shortcuts to this Christian life, to walking the course God wants you to walk. There's no shortcuts. You cannot skip class on this one. It don't work. Do you remember the steps? He said, you got to go find the right stick. So you harvest a stick, go out in the woods, figure it out, pick the right one that's, you know, reasonably going to do the job. So once you do that, then you pick it out, you put it in water. So he compared it to being saved, then getting baptized. He said, you soak it in water, then you got to put it in fire. As you're whittling this thing down, then you got to find a standard, which for us is the Word of God, to make sure, like a flat surface that you can compare it to, right? To put it on and work it to make sure it is straight. You know, every time you go shoot pool and you're at some wild place, don't you take the pool stick out and lay it on the table and roll it? And you're like, oh, I ain't using that stick. Because the table's supposed to be marble, and it should be a standard, and it shouldn't budge. That stick should roll straight. So he talked about that spear, and I really, really like that. So it reminded me of this. Once people get saved, you believe, you belong. You belong to a group of people, to a church that'll help hold you up, that'll help disciple you so you can become like Jesus Christ. Then you build for his kingdom. That's the goal. That's the goal, so we can build for another kingdom, right? Not to make our lives more comfortable here. Of course, he ended his message by showing Paul some of the course he was on. And he's just like, man, he used that passage. I think Paul made some of his own choices and might have been a little bit distracted or hindered, you know, by that. So, but anyways, no hindrances. That was the straight course. So I don't know, is anybody convicted about the straight course, like where you're like, my gosh, I'm hindered all the time. I got too many things. And some of you, it's as simple as this. Here's A, you're supposed to get to B. And some of you are like, well, I like this. I like this. I like this. And you do whatever you want to do. I'm heading that direction. You're casual. That's a nice way of saying 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, you're carnal. That's fleshly. So Jesus died, took my sins away, right? And now I'm supposed to die to my flesh. A carnal Christian is a Christian that wants to live the Christian life in the flesh. You're carnal. You're carnal. But people ain't willing to say, you know what, I'm cutting this out of my life. I'm cutting that out of my life. Why? Because it hinders where I really want to be. But most people, the truth is, when you see the course, you don't really want to be there. You don't really want to live for the eternal. Because living for the eternal makes the here and now a little more difficult. Everybody wants the easy life. I just want to wake up in the morning and eat brownies for breakfast. I want to eat McDonald's for lunch. I want to come home and be like, let's just order a pizza. And then my little casual life. And then I get 50 years old and got the diabetes. Who am I fooling? Caught up with me, didn't it? It always does. It always does. Most people lay on their deathbed if they're in their right mind. They have regret of the way they did life, the course they lived, what they could have done different. Can we not learn from that now? It's so hard. Why do we live the hindered Christian life? We need a straight course. I'm after it. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I love these people. You know, people don't realize, but all the years watching, I don't care if you watch NBA, if you watch the NFL, you know, everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to play at a high level. But little did they know that Larry Bird, before every game, was out on the court and he threw 200 free throws a day. A day. When everybody was doing stuff and having fun, he was like, I know what I gotta do if I'm gonna be the best. These guys live very sacrificial lives. I don't care if they're a musician you really love. Some people usually think when somebody likes music, they're just so casual about everything. And you'd think a musician, they party all the time. Not all of them. Some people do got some musical talent, but a lot of them are doing things when everybody else is watching the next Netflix special. They're back there working it, man. They're working it. They're frustrated working it. They're right. It's a discipline. My gosh, gang, there's a straight course, and we are so distracted in our world. So many things has got us off course. Whew. I was convicted that day. Never go gently. Three, the third message we had was the free course. This was when Blade spoke. You know, by the way, that word free course, you know what that word really means? It's one, actually in Greek, it's one word, free course. But they couldn't find a word in English, so they had to make it two, free course. Free course really means to run. So he said, pray for us, brethren, that the word of the Lord may have free course. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And Blade preached a message, and he had his 5 points, and super good. All them points. I'm not going to go over them points, but what I'm going to tell you is this. He said this, pray that the word of God would have free course, that it could run. Like, you know, somebody that runs, you just picture it, man, they're free. They're not bound. They're free. So pray that the Lord would have free course. We need to orchestrate our lives in such a way that the word of God is running through us, no distractions, and then we run to obey it. That's really what we need. That's what really what that whole message was about. Paul says, I run to win. Why would you run? Do you know how many people do track and field like in school? I knew this girl. She was Chunk. That wasn't her name, but that's what I called her. And what in the world are you doing? And she goes, well, I just do this to help try to keep me in shape. Oh, you're using the track team because they can't cut people from a track team, so you'll be forced to exercise a little bit, you know. I get how that works, you know. But Paul says, I run to win. Why would you run? That's the hardest part about the treadmill. Don't you feel like a hamster on that thing? You run and go nowhere. I at least want to go somewhere. Run to what? Run to win. Why would you run? I hate it when I played football. Why would I be second string? It makes me mad. I'm going to fight until I take that guy's job. Run to win. In Galatians 5, Paul tells the church, you did run well. What happened? What happened? Guys, some of you got saved and you were on fire for the Lord. Your fire is gone. It's obvious. It is so obvious that you're not the same girl you used to be. And I don't want to look in anybody's eyeballs. I'm not saying this is you. But if you look back and you just say, I remember what a joy it was to get in God, when God started speaking to me and I seen a verse, like, you'd light up, man. I remember that my life started changing. And people are like, what, are those days past? They can't be fresh today? Let's pray that God's word have free course, rapid, like a real urgency. And we can change. We can be the guys and girls that God would have us to be. And so free course. And then Matt Woods spoke on my course. The word here, it says that I can finish my course. We put the emphasis on the word my because basically Matt did a great job explaining. Guys, all of our courses ain't the same. Some people just want to preach and teach. Well, not everybody can do that. And it don't mean, you know, it takes everybody. It takes every part of the body to function. Every part, really. You ever get like, well, I got a little cut on my thumb right there. You can't hardly see it now because it's healing up really good. That cut was so little, but incredibly deep. Everything I do, I just reach over, like grab my Bible. It like shocked me. It was like affecting everything I did. Ain't that weird? Just a little cut in the thumb. Meaning, I think this is pretty important. It affects everything I do. So I'm like, woo! Felt like I just got shocked. You ever have that? Anybody ever, you wake up and you're just like, well, I got to get to work today, feeling good, I'm healthy, breathing, man, I'm good, all my limbs are feeling good. My gosh, I got a migraine. Debilitating. Oh my gosh. It's like it affects everything you do. You know, I can't pull this off. You know, it's like chopping a pinky toe off. You know, they would do that, you know, runaway slaves. They used to take him and they were like, snip his big toe off. Whap, it's just a big toe. That dude limped the rest of his life because it affects a lot of things. It affects your balance, right? So we're the body. So what is your course? What does God want you to do here to what? Build eternity, the kingdom, right? What is your course? And he did a great job of basically saying that one job is not more important than the other. So somebody, you know, we got toilet paper in there, disinfected bathrooms and handles and sinks. Somebody's doing that stuff. Somebody set up our chairs. Somebody's doing stuff here and making things and putting water out there, making all that stuff happens. And it happens because somebody's doing it. Somebody's running their course, and maybe you're gifted in a certain area. So I just really loved how Matt, 3 points, he said, accept that course and run that course and then finish it. But I like it. Accept your course. Who has God made you to be? And then for the glory of God, do that. Right? Do it. What is it? Most people won't take the time to find out. Most people won't even... Do you guys remember a guy, his name's last name's Potts? He entered, years ago, he entered the singing show. And it wasn't America's Got Talent. I think it was the other one. What's the other one called? I think it was, yeah, but this was Idol somewhere else, I think. I think it was Britain. But this guy got over there, and he looked like a total dweeb, man. This guy come out, he's fat. His face is not attractive. He's in a suit, and he comes out. He just stood up there and looked like a blob. And, you know, the old Simon Cowell's giggling at him and laughing at him, like, who's this cat? What's he going to do to impress us? And all of a sudden, this guy, they gave him the mic. He goes, I'm just going to sing a song for you. And he started singing the song. He was an opera singer. And, like, this guy's at the end just standing there, like, not even going crazy, just like it was no big deal. And this guy's like, ah! And the glasses breaking everywhere. Like, and I remember when, as soon as he got done, Simon Cowell goes, and you're selling mobile phones? You work in a mobile cell plate? What the? It was blown away, because to have a gift like that, and you're just going to settle to sell phones. Then he started cutting records. They have several stories like that. Every time I see it, it makes me cry, because I think of people in our church. Some of you are doing a job, and you think, you're just bringing home a check. This is what it takes. You're a waste of space is what you are. Really, God has so much more for you. Some of you have gifts and abilities. What's God called you to do? Most people don't even think about it. At least I got a job. Really? Hey. And some people, you know, maybe they don't have it here, or they don't have the skill set to be some great carpenter. That's okay. God's not called you to do that. It don't mean that the carpenter's better. There's a leadership book out there. A guy wrote a book. You know what he wrote the book on? This guy's a CEO of a major company. This guy's a multi-millionaire. And basically the premise of this little book he wrote was about his mailman. The mailman in the neighborhood, and it was a very rich neighborhood. Everybody at Christmas time bought this mailman great gifts. This mailman went above and beyond for people. He gave all the dogs treats. He knew the man's kids by name. And he started talking basically about his mailman and making a great... Not everybody's a CEO of a company. But he said that mailman touched all their lives every day and made their days better. And it just reminded me of a Christian. If God's called you to be a mailman, for the glory of God, deliver the mail. Witness of Jesus Christ as you deliver the mail. How many people that guy ministered to and prayed for? Unbelievable. And you take notice when the mail ain't getting picked up. And you find out that Mrs. Jones got put in the hospital. And the mailman went and made a visit. A mailman? Well, yeah, if that's what God's called, and that's what Matt focused on. Guys, there's no shame in your course. Just don't settle. What's God called you to do, right? You ever go into a gas station or a place of business? I try to frequent the same ones all the time. And I'm glad years ago when you had to write checks to go to the gas station, remember those days? And if I got one now, I wouldn't know how to write it. And I remember I filled up my gas tank and I went in to pay, but I couldn't find my wallet or my checkbook. I'd already filled up, you know. And I walked in the door and there she is. Teresa's at the counter. I said, Teresa, forgot my checkbook. I said, I'll be right back. She says, no problem. I was like, man, I love Teresa. She takes care of me. You know? She always slipped me cigarettes, you know? I'm just kidding. But she did it with the best. Matt did a very good job. Keep your course. Remember he talked about being hurt? He talked about having joy. That's why some of us, you're looking at somebody else's life, be like, man, I wish I could be like them. You'll never be happy doing that. You're always comparing yourself to other people. No wonder you have no joy. What's the Lord having you do today? So run that course and finish it, right? That was really, really good. Some of you need to go through discipleship. You need to go through even spiritual gifts and figure out what's God gifted you to do. Some of you have the gift of mercy. There's some people, we got a little recovery group, and I can tell, man, they have the right gifts, man, to be here. They ain't weirded out by things. They can sense when there's trouble. Some of you have, like, empathy for people. You have EQ that's really high. You got a gift of mercy. When people are hurting, sometimes people don't even know. And all of a sudden, you look over, and there she is, rubbing her shoulders, and what is she doing? She's exercising who God. She's running the course that God put her on. That's where she's good. That's where she's so, so good. Man, Brian Hedges got up here and talked about, guys, we got to finish the course. He talked about how to do it with obedience. It requires obedience. Hey, that ain't fun. But the whole thing we got out of that last thing was do the next right thing. Do the next right thing. Do the next right thing. The next right thing. God's going to always ask you to surrender. I'm going to surrender my all. Well, you can say that in this moment. What about tomorrow? There'll be something else in front of you. What are you going to surrender then, right? And so he preached that, man. It was good. We got to be obedient. He talked about finishing it with joy and then for expectancy. Like, I like how he ended that thing. Like, let's go to war for God's glory, man. Let's go to war that God would be pleased with our lives. I don't know about you, but we want our lives to count in eternity. And I just got news for you. Most of the places you work don't give a care about you. But there is one that does. You live for his glory wherever you're at. You're replaceable everywhere. I know sometimes we don't think we are, but it's so true. It's so true. Okay, now that was a review of the conference, the course, right? We got the course down, all five messages on that course, the big picture, the straight course, that free course, my course, the finished course, all that came right from Scripture. I looked up every time the word course appears. And now, based upon our reading, which was in Joshua yesterday, Joshua chapter 18, you can go there if you want to, Joshua in the Old Testament chapter 18. Is this guy ever going to open the Bible? I think we will. I know I've been quoting it, but Joshua chapter 18 in verse 3. This is the book of victory, right? They're going to the promised land. And Joshua in verse 3, Joshua 18, 3, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God your fathers has given you? How long are you going to be slack? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you just take the next few minutes that we have together and, Lord, just do your work. Bring encouragement where it needs to be laid. Lord, bring conviction where it needs correction. Lord, we're going to just try, you're our Father. Take your word and speak deeply to the Maple City Baptist Church. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Write down, there's going to be six things I'm going to give you. And you know what? I'm going to focus on this word slack. Because Paul addresses him and says, man, the Lord gave you some land. How long are you going to be slack and not go possess that? He basically said, in Jesus' name, you guys are slackers. Hard words. The first thing I want to point out, if you're taking notes, even mentally, if you can keep it together, guys, I want you to know that our God is not slack. You know what slack is, right? Give me some slack here, you know, whether it's an extension cord, you're at the very end of it, or do you ever tow a vehicle? I pull up my truck, hook somebody up in a ditch during the snow, I hook the tow rope up, put it on my deal, and I pull out, and what do? You go real slow till you pull the slack out, because if you don't, you're going to pull somebody's bumper right off their car. You got to go slow. Get that slack out, or you're going to cause some danger. God is not slack. God is dead serious and runs with a purpose about everything. In Deuteronomy 7, this is what he says. He keeps a covenant to those that love him, and those that hate God, he'll repay them. And you know what it says? And he will not be slack. God says, I ain't playing. He'll repay. In 2 Peter, it says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Guys, if he promised it, he ain't like us. You know, sometimes we overcommit ourselves. You know, we're like, dang, you know, I didn't want to be that guy, but I'm that guy. God's not slack concerning his promises, right? He wants everybody to be saved. He's only long-suffering. Sometimes people think when God's long-suffering that God's being casual. He's actually being merciful. He wants people to be saved. That's why he puts up with our garbage. He's always after the rescue. So when God promises something, he's not slack. What's the word slack mean? You know, the relaxed rope has slack in it. It sinks. You let it drop. There's a little delay there. It's a hesitation, is what it is. You get to Proverbs and it starts using the word slothful. What's a sloth do? You ever watch a sloth hold up traffic because it's running across the road? It's just and a guy gets out of his car to go help the darn thing, you know, because you're like, man, we can't deal with this. Why? Slothful. Slack, man. Always some sort of slowness going on. God ain't slow. God is not slack. So first of all, he's our standard. And I just want you to know, God is not about slack. If you're going to wake up in your morning and have a nice, relaxful, casual day, you know what you're going to accomplish? That's what you're going to accomplish. For God's glory. You just can't take it casual. When Brandon and Amelia did the decorations over there, I just loved it. Right at the beginning, they put out sign-ups. And I said, hey, guys, that's great. People will show up, but we've never done that before. I don't care if you do sign-ups. You know what they were doing? They were trying to take the slack out of the process any way they could, because this is serious. We've never done it before, and we got a short amount of time to decorate that building. They took anything they could do, they did it. Some things they probably learned, that worked. That didn't work. Oh, I thought this, but well, it turned out. Whatever. It worked out fine. But God's not slack. When we live a life that is slack, let me give you five things here under God is not slack. The first thing we're going to find out in Deuteronomy, if you want to, you can turn there. These ain't long. Deuteronomy 23:21. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21. You know what it says? Nope. Well, turn there. It says this, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. So, okay, the first thing we find when God talks about slack, he says this, if you make a commitment to the Lord, slack not. If you make a vow to the Lord, you shall not slack to pay it. That word there means to hesitate or to delay. You know how many people make a commitment to the Lord? Man, Lord, if you save me, if you get me out of this jam, the rest of my life. People do that all the time. Man, Lord, if I could just get through this, if she'll just do this, she's going to leave me, he's going to leave me. We make these commitments to the Lord like, I'm going to be dead serious. From now on, I'm never going to. You know, people, we all do that because we're human beings. So I want you to write down this. If there's a commitment you've made to the Lord, don't slack. Don't slack. You made a commitment to doing this or being discipled. I know you don't want to gather on Thursday night for discipleship. I've been busy all week. I got to come up with a lame excuse to not be there. What you're doing is slacking. That's what a slacker does. You can't even be honest to call up and even just say, I really want to cancel tonight because I'm exhausted, man. I know it seems lame, but you won't even have those conversations. Instead, you got to say something and make up some excuse that you got something busy to do. Don't you do that, Mom? You know, your parents, you ever do that to you? You answer the phone, you're like, hey, Mom, it's Rita. And she's like, hey, tell her I'm in the shower. You know, my mom said she was in the shower. So, commitments. Don't slack on our commitments. Hey, church, it's time. It's time to recommit. It's really time to go up and say, I know this is the next step. I'm going to make it public, and I'm not going to slack on that thing. Some of you just slack. You just delay a little bit. And you know what that means, guys? It's the word retarded they don't like us to use anymore. Retard. The word retard just means to slow. You're slowing down. Why are you doing that? Don't retard yourself. Don't slow that down. Take the slack out a little bit. Be dead serious. Joshua 18:3 is the next time in the Bible we find this word. And it says, how long are you slack to go possess the land? I want you to notice, if you read that verse like we read, it basically says, God gave you the land, but you must go possess it. Ain't that good? God gave it, but you got to take it. Did you know in the Old Testament, once your farmer went through the field to get all the corn out, you know how there's gleanings and the corn drops on a field, the edges of the field, they miss things. And yet the Bible says you're not allowed, the nation of Israel was not allowed to go back and pick up the gleanings. Hey, there's hundreds and thousands of more dollars. Let's get these gleanings. He said, that was for the stranger. That was for the widow. That was for poor people. Now in the United States, they would gather up the corn and the gleanings and take it down to the Jameson Center and put it in a box for you and tell you to come get it. Don't work that way in Scripture. Hey, you hungry? Your kids need something to eat? There's gleanings down in the field. You're going to have to walk a couple miles outside of town and pick it up yourself. It's there for you. You possess it. That's the problem with our country. That's why people are entitled so much. People get things too easily and too free. That's why people can look good, live in a nice home, drive a nice ride, and that guy hasn't worked for 2 years. How does he do that? Welcome to America. I love this country. It's the greatest country ever, right? Well, we do have our issues, don't we? So let me tell you this, not just your commitments, but if God has given you a place to occupy, let me give you another C word. Clench places God has told you to. Put your hands up on them and possess them. Occupy them. How long are you going to be slack to go possess this land? You've been talking about that for 3 years. Some of you have a book in you. You keep talking about, one day I'm going to write a book. You know what you can't do? You can't get up every day in the quiet of the morning and write for 30 minutes. Every day. You can't do that. I like the young people today. Everybody says they want to be an influencer on social media. Everybody that's a real influencer on social media, they work their guts out. Sorry, I think I triggered somebody's AI, you know. It's the voice. That's what does it. So they work their guts out. These people are going crazy. So clench the places God told you to clench. Own it. I don't know why. You know, years ago, people would do. You'd walk into the place you worked, and you're like, hey, guys, I just want to let everybody know, Wednesday at lunchtime, I'm going to do a Bible study on the back two tables back there. What? Yeah, I had a buddy that worked at Hallmark Cards in Kansas City, and he did a Bible study there. Not everybody came. People would come in to eat and be like, what are those psychos doing back there? Well, there's a Bible study going on. See, what they were doing is living out the purpose, the course that God had them run. The dude was an artist designing cards for Hallmark Cards, but at lunchtime he took the opportunity once a week to share God's word with people. And then all of a sudden people started showing up to the church and saying, hey, buddy I work with. It was really cool. Where do you work at? Most people are embarrassed to just go to work and hang your head like you're praying. And then you're so embarrassed you're not really praying. Yeah, I should probably do this. You're like, what are you doing? Well, you're acting like you're praying. I get that. Most people won't even do that. It's crazy, isn't it? What place has God told you to occupy? Where do we need to take Jesus to and God's burdened your heart? Why can't we do it? What are you blessed with? What talents do you have? My gosh, if you got a talent, use it for God's glory. I don't care if it's artistic. I don't care if it's sports. I had guys in the past, they're always gone from church to tournament ball. I say, hey, I got something for you. Let's get a battery pack and let's put a 65-inch TV in the back of that vehicle of yours. When you get there and it's tournament time on Sunday morning, say, everybody, all teams at 7:30 tomorrow morning for 22 minutes. That's all we have time for. I'm going to set this up in the back of my vehicle, my back of my van, and all of a sudden you hit play, and there's a nice song to draw people in, crank up the music and the stereo speakers, but all of a sudden there's somebody on there. Maybe find a professional athlete that has a testimony that he met Jesus and changed his life. I said, you could do a chapel service before, but you know what I find out? They're not there for a chapel service. These people are not going. They're not going to be able to be around people and share Jesus Christ and do. They're not there for eternity. They're out there vicariously living some professional sports life through their kid that's half talented. It's silly. It was always silly. I kept giving opportunities to say, hey, what about this? Hey, what about this? I bet if our church could, I'll tell you what, I'll do music. Mike and Marie can go with a guitar. Maybe they can do a little music and draw people in for 30 minutes. And then one of you guys can stand up and give your testimony. And they always looked at me like, well, we could do that. You don't want to do that. You're there for the ball. Because ball is life. And you know what the Bible says about you? You're a slacker. That's all it says. There's nothing wrong with abilities and talents and gifts and places God has you. What's wrong with it is when you're not there with a purpose. That's the problem, gang. That's the problem right then and there. It's not that everything's wrong and we need to start driving horse and buggies and sewing our own clothes. No, that's Amish. That's weird. You can buy butter cheaper than you can churn it for. Why do you want to churn butter? Well, it builds character. Okay. Clench those places. Quit slacking. We're slackers. That's all it is. We're slackers. It's funny to me. People say they want to do something or learn something. I'm just like, well, what are you doing to learn it? You are a slacker. Hey, if there's a commitment you need to make, stop slacking, man. You're being slow on this. Stop relaxing. It's not time to relax. Clench places. Occupy the places that God has given you. The fourth one I want to bring up is this. And the Bible says in Proverbs, withhold not good if you can give it. Don't withhold good if you can, you know, extend your hand to bless somebody. Well, Gibeon in Joshua chapter 10, they literally told Israel, could you come over here? Slack not thy hand to save us or to help us. So I guess I want you to know there's a cure. There's your C word. If there's a cure for a people, or people, and you have the ability to help meet that cure, the need in their life, don't hold back, or don't slack. Don't slack. You don't think that family's eating good enough. Then why don't you go take food? And when the dad or mom answers the door, and they're like, what? Well, we have food in here. Oh, your kids seem to always be hungry. Well, you saying I'm not feeding my kids? Well, I didn't say that, but you did bring it up. Are we man enough to do that type of stuff? To tell our neighbors that we love them? If I can be the cure for a group of people or to help somebody that needs a little bit of rescue? Hey, I noticed your car hasn't moved in a week. You guys all right? My car's down, man. It's been... Guys, do you have a spare car? Can you take some time to take somebody? Are you willing to give your keys? And it depends. I don't think you do that to everybody, but man, we're Christians. Quit slacking. You see a need, we can meet that need. Right? We did it the other night. $7,400 come in. Like, it was just like, I thought I was on I Dream a Genie. Bam, pow, it was there. You know, she always whipped that ponytail, you know. God come down, stirred our hearts, and people gave. It's beautiful, isn't it? We don't need no stained glass to go up here, no window outside. We could probably put one in there for $7,400. I'd rather put a church roof on in one of the poorest nations in the world for God's glory, you know. Let me give you a couple more, and I'll shut this thing down. Guys, in 2 Kings chapter 4, just write this down, 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a lady, man, she a miracle child. Even the prophet of God says, you're going to have a baby. I can't have babies. You're going to have a baby. She had a baby. All of a sudden, the baby dies. All of a sudden, the lady tells her servant, I need to go see the man of God. And she got on a donkey, and she said, drive forward and don't stop because of me. You know, because a lady on the back, you'd think we'd be gentle about this. She said, not at all. She said, slack not thy riding and get to where you need to be. And because she wanted the man of God, because he was the guy that prophesied she'd have this kid, she needed the man of God so she can say, my kid's dead. Can you do something about it? So listen, some of you need to make a great call for help, but you're just slacking. When you need to call for help, don't slack on that. You got a marriage issue going on, one of your kids. Sometimes we do it because we don't want to call because it's embarrassing. But you know, I'm just telling you right now, what you need to do is humble yourself and make the call for help. Most people don't do it. You hide. You've got to a spot where deep in your heart you hate her. Deep in your heart you hate him. What's holding you back? You're a slacker. That's what's holding you back. Rescue your family. Quit slacking. Take the slack out of that. And step up to the plate and call and say, I need help. I need some help. Hey, none of us like people that are takers. All the time, all they want is things. They want money. Every time you see them, they want something. Yeah, you know what that is? That's trashy living. You know? We don't want to be those people. That's like growing up, living in the projects, right? And then it was food stamps, you know? It wasn't a link card. We had stamps, man. It's kind of embarrassing when you find out what they were later on. I remember as a kid, I was so, you know what they used to do in our class? They'd say, anybody who has free lunches, get over here. I was the first one in line. But I was so young, it didn't matter then. And then the kids that had to pay, they were over here. And then there was, you got reduced lunches, and people would begin to pay a little bit for that. They made all that public there. I was over there. Me and my friends, we were happy. You know, but we were takers. I didn't know. I was a kid. It took me years later to realize, that's kind of embarrassing, now that I think about it. Well, if you need help, you better call. Call somebody. This is accountability. Some of you need accountability. And some of you guys, you know, it's funny. The issue you're dealing with, you're a pervert, dude. You're letting sexual things and images and thoughts into your life all the time. You're gate holes, right? 2, 4, 6, 7. 7 holes in your mouth. You're listening to things, you're watching things, all that stuff. Trying to lose weight, and you got to have it. McDonald's always smells delicious when you drive by. And I don't know about you, but sometimes even farmland, I'm like, fried bologna. My gosh. You know, it just smells it. Most people say, that's disgusting. I'm like, bring it on. Tube steak at the Blake's house tonight, right? But I'm here to tell you what you need to do is call for help. Humble yourself and call. Just say, I got a problem. I got an issue. What's your issue? Well, I got news for you. When you spit that out, you know what you say? You tell what it is. You're embarrassed. You got a hold of every man's battle there, pal. But you've been so slack, it's got a hold of you. You can't get any victory. You know why? You won't call for help. Man, quit being slack. Quit hesitating. Quit relaxing. There's no time to relax. There's no time. Man, you're slow. When we were kids, we could say, dude, quit being a retard. You can't say that anymore. People get really offended at that. Quit being a slacker. You're slothful. And guys, let me give you the last one, and then we'll wrap this up. Well, I'm wrapping up the conference because we're talking about a course and a journey. And when God showed me this yesterday, God made it clear and says, Mike, you know the problem is? There's a course. There's a spot in a journey I want most people on. Most people choose slackness. Relax. Hesitate. Slow. I mean, when something spills, who jumps up? Slackers don't. They never jump up to fix that. Proverbs 10:4, you know what it says this? It says this. If you want to go there, this is the last one. So in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, it says this. Guys, I hope you let this one sink in. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Sounds simple, don't it? Poor people have a slack hand. What's a slack hand? Lazy. That's exactly right. People used to say, look at that guy, he's gay, because he's just slack. That's lazy. That's all that is. Your hand is slack. But the rich, their hand is very diligent. It lives with intention. It works with purpose. But poor people tend to have a slacked hand. So let me tell you this. I would ask you if you would, I've given you all C words on this, by the way. I think today some people need to correct your thinking, correct your definitions. Because most people, when they say rich people, they're like, must be nice. What, to work? When you're watching the Netflix special, that dude and that girl's pounding out figures at her desk. They're working. Most people don't want to put that kind of hours in. Most people, when you get off of your little daily shift, you want to sit on a couch. You know what that is? That's just slack. Especially if you got a kid that would like a ball thrown to him. Especially if you got leaves in your yard that are 8 inches thick. Slackers just leave them. They think they've earned the right to watch another series, to watch another movie. And yet they look at people that have better things. Must be nice. Look at that car they're driving. Have somebody like give that. That's how they talk. Change your definition. That ain't always the case, and most of the time it's not. A lot of times people are rich because they're diligent. I'm not saying being rich is the goal, by the way. But a lot of times people are rich, we look at them like, they're lucky. Ain't it funny? The hardest working people seem to be the luckiest. Because they work. We need to correct our thinking today. A lot of us spiritually, you know why spiritually you're a PUD? You know why you're a PUD? Because you do nothing about it. You're a slacker. You're too relaxed about it. You're just too relaxed about it. You're slothful. You're slow. I remember I went to the gym when I was younger real early in the morning. One time my dad would go with me before he got disabled. But if you ever go to the gym real early in the morning, and like you do a set of flies on an incline bench, and then all of a sudden you drop it down, and you know, then 2 minutes of rest between the sets. If you ain't super setting, you'd lay on that incline bench, and my gosh, at 5 a.m, I'm in a free weight workout room, and I'm in our incline bench, and I doze off. I'm just like, you ain't getting big that way. You're in a place where you could build muscle, but guess what? You can't be that relaxed, dude. Come on, get after the next one, right? We just tend to let it drop. Hesitation. Correct your thinking. Godly women in this church, it must be nice. She don't come from the same home I come from. Is that your excuse? Because the Bible's just going to say, you better change your thinking. That lady gets up in the morning and stays up at night and she's in the Word. That lady's got a journal and she prays. She opens up Scripture and, you know, well, her kids don't grow up like my kids. Well, you know what she does every night before bed? They're singing songs and open the Bible, reading Bible stories to her kids. You just think, yeah, they're just privileged. Privileged? Maybe mama's just after it. Maybe mama's not a slacker. And today, you know, everybody's, you ever sit in the room and you look around? I've done this before in my own house. I'm guilty. You look around and everybody's on their phones. Everybody. There's things to talk about. There's finances and future and goals to make. There's bills to pay. And you literally just say, I don't even want to look at them. Because you're a slacker. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching for us all, to myself. I'm guilty. I've been guilty. So let me give you the five things. God's not a slacker. So what we want to do, some of your commitments. You've made commitments and not kept them. By golly, get in discipleship. Every week you got to meet. Every week. I read a book called Influencer. It's not a Christian book. But sociologists studied many things in the world, and they discovered what makes clean water in this country. How did this factory quit from having so many injuries? How did 500 people lose at least 50 pounds and keep it off for 5 years? And then they gave common denominators. These three things happened. You know the people that lost weight and kept it off for years? They said three things, all 500 people, they studied and tracked them for 5 years and they kept the weight off. The ones that didn't, they found out there's three things they did. Real simple, three things. People are like, yeah, they went to the gym. That's what they did every day. Every morning they woke up and jumped on the scale. First thing they did. Every day. Guys, we can all do that. The second thing they did is they ate breakfast every day. The third thing they did, they worked out at home. All the things that commercials will tell you ain't true, like you need to buy the shakes or the pills or the, they tell you all these crazy things. You really don't have to do, you know what you have to do to lose weight? Or if you want to gain weight, and you know what you have to do? Stop slacking. It's things we know to do. It's pretty easy. I know it's painful to get on the scale. I got a buddy that gets on the scale every day, and you know what he does? Oh, no dessert for me tonight. Why? He's 2 pounds over. And literally the next day he'd get on there, and if he hits his goal weight, he had a goal weight. He was not a very big guy, but like 160. He'd be 160. I'm eating dessert after dinner tonight. And he'd do that for 3 or 4 days. Then he'd get on the scale and be like, 4 pounds over. Ooh. So he'd tell his wife, hey, no dessert for me tonight. I was like, man, that's simple. It takes discipline, but it's simple. Ain't that crazy? Three simple little things. You know what it means? You're just not going to slack. Guys, my whole point today is let's own it. Let's be responsible. Let's be responsible. Is it possible that your children are where they're at, whether it's academically, physically? Is it possible they're struggling where they struggle? Is it possible because I'm a slacking parent? Oh, it's possible. It's so painfully possible. It is. The kids when I coached, the kids on the softball field, I could tell the kids that could, a lot of times you're like, man, that little girl ain't athletic at all, is she? People are like, no. And I'm telling you, 90% of the time, it was usually the little girl that her mom and dad didn't spend any time in the yard with her. Most of the time. And some people got natural talent. I get all that. But I'm just saying, it is possible. There's so many areas of, man, I wish I was like this. Well, you can be like that. So as we've been talking about this journey, this course we're on, gang, we're all on this course. We've learned it this week. God's just saying, get after it. Believe, then you belong. You can become what God wants you to be. It's hard work, but then you can build for God's kingdom. Then you got a life you're living with purpose, but you can't be a slacker. God has given it to you. He's given it to me. He has given this to our church. Guys, I'm convicted. Because you know what I do? I hate passing offering plates. I put that mailbox over there. We don't even talk about it. Nobody wants to hear that when you go to church, do you? But it's important. I get it. And you know what I'm sick of? The other night, I bring up these roofs. We watch a video. We heard speaking. God got a hold of people's hearts. We're going to put on 15 roofs in Malawi. That's great, isn't it? And I just thought, I sat there. I literally go to bed that night, and I'm like, man, I'm a slacker. I'm a slacker. Not because of the money I gave for roofs. You know why I'm a slacker? Who would have think a group of people like us in one night could cough up $7,400? My vision's just this big sometimes. God's bigger, man. I'm not going to slack anymore. Let's put it out there. Now, you know, I'm not asking, I don't need an airplane anytime soon. You know, it's time for a new jet for the ministry. Don't the Lord deserve a good jet? Seriously. And he chose me to ride in it, you know? You know, I'm not down with that. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying when it's for a greater cause. The things that we can do when we collect together, if we don't slack, it's pretty flipping amazing. Praise the Lord for that. So, message today, why delay? Why are you still hesitating? Why are you tarrying? You're always just remaining behind. You sink. You're always relaxed. You'll let it drop. You delay. You're choosing to be slow. You're choosing retardation. Now, when you're born that way, it's a whole nother ball game. When you just choose to live that way, you're slacking. slothful, restraining. I'm just withholding. Where's God have you at this morning? What did you get from the conference? What's the next step for you? And some of you are delaying because you know what? I want no pressure. Oh, you enjoy the slack. We want to talk about having margin in our lives. That's what we want to talk about. Well, you accomplish nothing. You have no goals, so what do? You hit it all the time. You go to bed every night feeling that you're a success. Well, because you had nothing down for the day to get accomplished. I'm just trying to get through the week. Oh, you slacker? Really? Let's pray. Let's pray. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Man, gang, I'm speaking to me. God's word is speaking to all of us. And I don't know what God is speaking to you about or telling you about, whether it's your fatherhood, being a mother, maybe your marriage relationship, maybe here at the church. You know, some people just walk in and see a Sunday school building. Bam! It's all decorated. You're like, man, who has time for that? Well, I can tell you there was a lot of people. You know what they did? They sacrificed hours. They didn't get to watch episode 7 of season 3 because they were here at the church painting something they really didn't care to paint. It's respectful, isn't it? Respect. Is there an area of your life that God this morning just hammered you on and just said, you know, sometimes you just got to don't let me do it. Let the Spirit of God, if he's speaking to your heart going, you are a slacker. You're slack. I've given you that. You just got to go possess it. You just got to get off the couch and go possess that. Put some plans. Yeah, you're capable of discipleship. You're totally doing that. But what, you know what you don't want? The weekly. There's a little pressure with that, gang. It takes the pressure or things don't get cooked. If you want to be the man, the woman God wants you to be, you're going to have to invite the pressure into your life. So if you're convicted in any area, just confess that to the Lord. So Jesus, thank you for a good morning this morning. Thanks for a great conference, God. Man, I'm just so thankful for Brandon and Amelia. I'm thankful for Max today, just getting through discipleship. Man, every week they just did every day they did the right thing, or they were not slack. And man, look at what they've accomplished. It's been beautiful. God, I pray that we're a people that's like that, that we're Christians, that knowing the land that you've given us, that we would go occupy it, that we would not be slack or too casual about it. Amen.